somebody's mic stand. I'm gonna sit in a stool because I don't know. Going back to that mud house Sabbath, where our posture means something, you know, and kind of a little worn down today. Can I use yours, Jeff? I'll put it back. He's already gone. He's on the 405. We're in a series, One Another, and we've been talking about how first we started with our one anotherness is rooted in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we moved to, last week we talked about how we love one another because we're absolutely adored by our Maker. And it has nothing to do with what we do, say, act, think. It's a grace unlike anything else in the universe. It's not dependent on our actions. It's not dependent on our ideas. It's not dependent on anything. Except there's one bridge that it comes across, right? And that's what Paul writes his letter to the church in Rome. Well, that's it. Before there's a church. So it's the followers of Jesus in Rome. And he starts off, and it's basically Christianity 101. If you ever want to, there's been several books, like Basic Christianity, or called Basic, yeah, I think it's called Basic Christianity by Stott. G.K. Chesterton wrote Orthodoxy. C.S. Lewis wrote Mere Christianity. Paul wrote Romans. Paul wrote this letter. And he alludes that there's a problem in the followers of Jesus from the very beginning. So that's comforting, right? Because we got some problems in this room, right? We got some problems in every church in America. There's a church, capital C. We got problems. We're not united. We got 500 different types of Baptists. You know, like we got problems, right? And Paul is alluding to all throughout the letter that there's a problem in the followers of Jesus, in that there's a divide. There were people that were Jewish that were handed the faith first. They were the inside crew, right? Jesus hung out with 12 Jews. Jesus was a Jew himself. And so it started as a Jewish thing. It was more of a reformation than a new faith. But then he says, I'm making a new covenant, and everybody's invited to this table, right? I'm going to lean on you. Guys, you have to say yes. Maybe a lot this morning. I don't know. We'll see. I'll try and not lean on you so much. But so, Edson, you can go back to sleep. Just playing. I love that Edson guy. I just think that smile. Anyway. Okay. Had to tilt that thing. And so he starts off his letter. He starts off Romans with, you know, you Jewish people, you're thinking you're grandfathered in. You're not. Your bloodline has nothing to do with it. Who you're related to, you can't just lean on that. Oh, my parents were really good followers of God. That doesn't mean anything. That's what Paul says in the beginning of Rome to the Jews. And then he turns to the Gentiles, everybody else. And he says, you can't think your way into heaven. You can't think your way into the presence of God. You can't be smart enough. You can't answer the equation. You can't obey enough. He says that to both of them. You can't be a moralistic earner of a relationship with God. You can't say, I did the right thing. I didn't do the wrong thing. You need to let me in. Paul says, every single one of us, every single one of us, if you got a pulse, everybody check your pulse. If you got a pulse, you are a sinner. And you have no chance in and of yourself to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. But then he turns and he says, both of you need to receive the grace of God, the Heavenly Father, by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what started the Reformation, right? Anybody heard the term Martin Luther came up with? Sola fide. Everything sounds... I said I was going to say Latin in every single sermon, and I just realized this in this series, I'm sticking with it. Sola fide. Faith alone. Nothing you can earn, nothing you can do, nothing you can think, nothing you're related to. It's sola fide. It's in faith in the cross that he was big enough. He did it on our behalf. Amen? I'm sorry if I sound angry. I'm going to try not to sound angry when I'm saying these things. You know, but I don't want to lean the other way. Here's a little pet peeve of mine. This is just a freebie. I don't like people. Well, I don't. It rubs me the wrong way when somebody says terrible news with a smile on their face. You're full of sin. You know, I don't know. So I don't want to lean like too chipper and not yelly, but I'm going to be in that sweet spot. Right, Lloyd? Have I yelled at you yet? Getting close. Okay. I'll tune it down. I'll downshift. Okay. So this is all in preparation for reading the text. So he says, everybody's full of sin. We need to receive the grace of God by having faith, believing into. Like, I'm believing into this stool. We need to believe into Jesus Christ. And it's that simple. And then you receive that love that has nothing to do with what you think, do, act. It's because he made you. And he's crazy about you. That's what last sermon was about, right? And so then he cruises in Paul in Romans, and this now he's winding up the letter. And he's about to, in the section we're reading, he's about to address that divide that the Jews have a superiority complex. And the Gentiles have a passion without any knowledge complex. And he's calling the followers of Jesus, all of them, to build one another up. So let's read the text. Romans 15, 1 through 7. And then I'm also going to read Proverbs 27, 17. And that backfired on me too, but you'll find out about that in a second. All right. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ had, so that one with one mind and with one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And then I'm going to go back to Proverbs 27, 17, where Solomon writes, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, I pray that your words would come through me. My words would be forgotten and your words would change us from the inside out and encourage us and unite us. and assist us by your Spirit to build one another up. And all God's people said. So he starts with the idea, if you think you're strong, if you think you have the answers, if you think you have this following God and being close to God together, people are going to know it. People are going to know it because you're going to be good to your neighbor. You're going to be looking out for what makes your neighbor's day better. I've preached a lot about this, right? A couple weeks ago, I came up with the little phrase. I don't think I came up with it. I probably heard it somewhere. But think about what puts a smile on God's face and do that. And that boils down to what puts a smile on Randy Spears' face? Mike, Wayne's, Susan's, Jane's. And Paul is saying, Jason, think about making their day. Thinking about making them good. What if I asked the question before I entered any conversation with anybody in here, right before I'm about to talk to Terry, I think in my mind, by the end of this conversation, I want Terry to be closer to God than she was before I started talking. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what Paul is calling these Jews and these Gentiles to start acting like. And that's what he's calling us here this morning. Once again, I feel like a record on repeat. You know, how many times have I said this as your pastor? Seriously, start getting along with one another. Seriously, start looking out for one another. Start being good to each other. Stop picking each other apart. Start loving each other. Start building each other up. That's what he says. What do you think of when you hear that? Building up. I'll cut you the chase. Encouragement. Yeah. Anybody here have to do a human pyramid in PE? Right? It was one of the perks of being a Forest Home camp. I was a lead dean. I was kind of big time up at Forest Home. Anyway, I'm a lead men's dean up at Forest Home. And at certain points, you're in charge of everybody there. And we were doing these competitions in the Mud Bowl, and the goal at the beginning of the Mud Bowl is to get everybody as muddy as crazy. But I remember saying, okay, all teams, it's a competition. Who can make the highest human pyramid in this Mud Bowl? And so what do? You put the jocks at the bottom. You put the jocks at the bottom. And I remember this one Mud Bowl. There was a camper. She was a sophomore. She was in a wheelchair. And she had just wheeled down to watch the people play. And her counselor said, what do you think of going on the top of that thing? And she said, sure, I'll do that. And I remember her, like, they were delicate. And there were some men, these footballers that were, you know, like football studs that, you know, they're in high school and they look bigger and badder than me. You know, like, so they're the bottom. Then you got your middle. And then I remember, like, them just placing her up. And I just remember the smile on her face. Paul's, build each other up, people. Lift each other up. And one of the things I love about Paul is he's always playing devil's advocate. He's always in his mind. He's just a smart dude, and the way he writes is so incredible. But in the way he thinks is so incredible. So he says these things. He says, we're supposed to build each other up. We're supposed to be good to each other. And it's like he's heard in his mind, how are they supposed to do that, Paul? I can't just, You can't tell people to do things without equipping them. When Susan said, hey, I want to do the prayer confession, talked to her on the phone a couple times, walked her through it, she did an A-plus job, right? Right? I was awesome. Michael is still one guy. I just scored, yeah, that's my bride. That was awesome. That was awesome. That was a building up moment. That was exciting. That's awesome. But my point wasn't that. Anyway, the first half is the point, the reason I brought that story up. I trained her. You know, I just said, don't get up there. I didn't just say, go up there and do what you want to do. I walked her through what you do. You say this, and then you do this. Blah, blah, blah. And Paul's doing the same thing. And what does he say? It's hard. How do we do it? We look to Christ. That's where the Jesus answer is always right, right? Jesus. How do we do it? We look to Christ. N.T. Wright said, modeled by the Messiah. I like how he uses a little bit of alliteration just to remember, like memory tool. Remember, our Messiah modeled it. He didn't jump to the front of the line. Everything he did was to build you up and to build me up and to build us up. He laid down his life so that we might have life. That's, you don't get more build up than that. How else do you do it? You read scripture. You read your Bibles. Remember for the first couple months, I think as I was hired here 5 years ago, my application for the first five or six sermons was read your Bible. It was in there every single time. Just because it's mentioned so much in scripture, Paul brings it up again. How the heck are we supposed to get good at lifting each other up and treating each other well and making sure that everyone else is good? You model it after Jesus Christ and you read your scriptures. You read these stories. You read these events. Or time after time. The underdog is used as the vessel of glory. The broken is mended, and in the mending, it shows the way. Right? And then this, you could totally, Paul's just, he's on the stream of consciousness. He's on this road trip. He's like, he's trained, he's gaining steam. And what's he do next? He says, you follow Jesus. You read your scripture. And then without notice, he just starts praying. Who's he praying for? He's praying for the people in Rome, the Jews and the Gentiles. But he's also praying for you and I. What is this prayer right here? Verse 5. Actually, before I say that, read your Bibles. I want to read a quote by N.T. Wright. Let's just pause there and reflect the way in which the Bible is meant to function in ordinary Christian living. This book is supposed to be a part of your life. Now we can go ahead. What's he pray? He says this. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement. What's endurance? Stamina. Strength. Me coming up here on a Sunday after I've heard some terrible news on a Friday. Endurance. God gives me that endurance. Encouragement. What's encouragement? To impart courage. May the God who gives endurance, which is bottomless. Remember we went into how he's got all these bottomless attributes. Just because he gives me a lot of endurance doesn't mean he doesn't have any left over for you. He has enough. He's got bottomless endurance. He's got bottomless encouragement. And as he gives us, Paul's prayer, may the God who gives endurance and the God who gives us courage give us the same mind as Jesus Christ. actually, give us the same mind for each other as Jesus Christ. The word there, same mind, Paul really likes to use it. And it's actually, mind isn't a very good translation. Because then he goes on right here, he says, so that with one mind, it's the same word. It's actually in the Greek, mia psukse. With one soul. With one soul. And one voice. Give us a note. Just sing like a, ah, like a, ah. Everybody, ah. Do that again. Ah. One voice. So beautiful, right? One voice. One soul. I have to do it again. How many people are in this room? One. One people are in this room. It's us. You're home. We're here. Right? So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in here knows the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the first question. What's the chief end of man or human beings? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To answer the question, what puts a God smile on God's face? The number one answer is, that. With one mind, one soul, and one voice. Our Heavenly Father is saying, Stacy gets it. Him and Dr. T are brother and sister. Michael gets it. Him and Edson are brother, her brothers in Christ. Right? And then he just does the cliff notes, the for dummies. He sums up the whole thing. He says, This is what I'm trying to tell everybody in this room. This is what I'm trying to tell everybody in Rome. This is what I'm telling all the peoples on all the different Democrats, Republicans, all the different divides. It's what I'm trying to tell everybody. Accept one another. Turn to your right and say, I accept you. Turn to your left, I accept you. Some people did not do that. And I'm not going to call that out, but that's hilarious. I'm not doing it because you told me to. Anyway, every once in a while, that's why I do this, right? No, that's not why I do this. Application. What's the application? Okay. First, once again, receive your identity. Receive it. Application number one. You are one. You are one mind. You are one soul. You are one voice. Bear with those that come in here with a limp. Bear with me this morning. Bear with me as I'm hurting on this Sunday. Don't come at me and say, I know all the answers. I've heard this works at pancreatic cancer. Put that stuff back in your wallet. I don't want to hear it. Bear with me. Bear with your neighbors. Build them up. Start saying, hey, that outfit looks good on you. I like your smile. Hey, I think you're smart. Put more encouraging words in your mouth. Right? Yes? Okay, good. Look out for their good. What's going to make Starlene's day better? What's going to encourage Margot as she takes care of her dad? And when we struggle, read your scripture. Especially read John. Draw close to Jesus. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit. Bind us together. Help us to realize who we really are. And all God's people said, as I looked down, I realized I forgot about Proverbs. You got to bear with me, right? I just preached about it. You got to bear with me. I got an absent mind brain because my subconscious, everything's working on my mentor and hero struggling with cancer. And actually, I buried the lead because I came in here and I thought that scripture was about me knowing my Bible and Dr. T knowing his Bible and us sharpening each other's swords by challenging one another on our understanding of scripture. That's what I thought. Until I read a Jewish poet, a guy named Robert Alter, and I read him on Monday. Remember, I read him right before our staff meeting. I had a staff Zoom, and I had read this commentary. And he translates that this scripture, Robert Alter does, Proverbs 27:17, iron together with iron, and a man together with his friend. And he writes this, iron together with iron. This is usually understood to refer to magnetized iron, which clings to iron, and so does a man to his friend. I thought that scripture was about knowing your Bible and being good at sword drills and sharpening each other up. It's not. It's actually about what Paul prays for. It's about us coming together and clanking against each other, not to sharpen each other, but to magnetize us and stick us together to understand we are one. We are one soul. You pick on me, you're picking on Jim Leahy. You pick on me, you're picking on Linda. You pick on Jane, you're picking on me. We're one. Amen. Well, we stand up and sing. That's what we do. Please be seated. And there was a second verse, but I had never heard it. And so we just sang the first verse over and over, or just twice. Yeah, I didn't. And that's the sermon right there. Realizing that we're loved What more? How much more could he love us? The answer is he can't love us more. Love each other likewise, right?